Okay. The Gemara says, Sine har habarzel kshera. Amar Abayi lo shanur elo shirosh shizem agil tzad ikro shol zeh, vol ein rosh shizem agil tzad ikro shol zeh, pasol, Sine har barzel are obviously, Rashi Sine means palm trees. Why they're called har habarzel is not 100% clear. Simple pshat is, like a few Rishonim say, the Ran and the Meiri, okay, slightly different formulation, similar idea. They grow in a place which can be nicknamed Har HaBarzel. They grow on mountaintops. I guess on mountaintops are not as fertile. And Barzel, iron, is very tough and not very fertile. I mean, they grow in iron, but they grow in tough ground like iron, right? Right? So it doesn't grow. That means these things don't grow. And that's why they grow short leaves. They're stunted palm trees because they grow in an infertile place. The Tosus Yontif, that I put in the brackets, is very concerned. But it says later in the Gemara that they grow in Gei Ben Hinnom. Gei Ben Hinnom is a guy, is a valley. So how could they be called Har HaBarzel if they grow in a valley? So he says that it must be that in Gei Ben Hinnom there's a mountain. A mountain in the valley. I mean, it all depends what you're willing to call a mountain. We know what Gei Ben Hinnom is, right? It's not really a, you know, I guess whatever. You can always decide to call something there a mountain. But that seems to be a little dachuk. So I saw in the Orech Lener, he says, no, Har HaBarzel is not talking about an actual mountain. Har HaBarzel is just a nickname for the fact that, the Gemara says, the opening of Gehenna, for Gehenna. He has two pshat to me. The Har HaBarzel is a nickname for Gehenna, because it's as if you're walled in by mountains of iron. Once you get to Gehenna, you can't get out so easily. Or Har HaBarzel is a nickname for the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is like a strong, tough mountain. And the Yetzer Hara is what gets you into Gehenna. Okay, you never know. I just thought the Poshup shot was that, I guess depends how you read this Gemara. And here I'm against an itter that we'll see in a moment, that the Gemara doesn't mean that there are only two Tzinei Har HaBarzel in the world that grow in Gei Ben Hinnom. No, most of the Tzinei Har HaBarzel grow on a mountain somewhere. And then there's also a couple in Gei Ben Hinnom, and then you can take a pshuto, and I assume that's what they're around in their ear mean when they say it grows on the mountain. They also know the Gemara. They mean they generally grow on the mountain, and strangely there's two of them in Gei Ben Hinnom, which is why we make a whole philosophical significance out of it. Okay, so again, Tosfos Yontif says there's a har in the valley. The Aruch Lener says it's named metaphorically for Yetzer Hara or for Gehenna. But the Pashup Shot is it usually grows in the mountains, and remarkably there are two in a valley, which is why Chazal made a big deal of it. Because it's remarkable that two mountainous ones grow in a valley. Oh, and that's the name of Har HaBarzel. Let's get to the halachas of Har HaBarzel. Says Abaye, they're short, but they have to at least, each leaf has to reach the leaf above it. But if the leaves are so short they don't reach the next one, then it is pasul tanya mihachitzin erbezel psula v'ha'ana tan tshera elosh ma'amina ke'abaye shma'amina. Right, that's the, I mean, you could have thought of it any way you wanted of resolving it. Once Abaye said it, that's a reasonable way to resolve this. The Rav Ika Dromili Mirma. Some people don't start with Abaye and bring a siyata from the stira, but just start with the stira, even though it's the same thing logically. Tanan sini har basel kasher, tanya psula. Mish says kasher, Bais says pasul. Amar Abaye, that Abaye wasn't saying stam and then brought a raya from the stira. Abaye was only saying in response to the stira, lo kasha, kasha rosh zem agil tzad ikaro shel zeh, kasha in rosh zem agil tzad ikaro shel zeh. Okay, so we see here that there is a psul. If each leaf does not reach the next leaf, then it is puzzle. What's so bad if each leaf doesn't reach the next leaf? So here we have a few different opinions in the Mefarshim. If each leaf doesn't reach the next leaf, so what if Ein Rosho Shel Zed Magia Le? What do they call it? Sadi Karoshel there leaf. Tzad Karo Shel Zeh, it's possible. Why? So, the Interestingly, in the Levush here, he seems to say, and not he seems to say, I think he says, that, right, where is this?
The last line.
That's pretty explicit. Okay, one thing that I'm not sure what to do with, there's a fascinating iter, putting the Gaonim. He says, what's the problem if the Rosh of Zed doesn't nagia the Kar Shel Zed? We have to read on a little. Amar Rav Mergen, Amar Shimon Levi, Amar Leitanid, Rav Bar Mori, Shurim Yochanan Zakai. Shtei Tamar Sheish Vigei Ben Inon. There are two palm trees in Gehenim, which originally was the name of the valley. The Ola Asher Minayim. Smoke comes from the ground, up from the ground in between them. Zeh Shoshanin, and Tzinei Arbarzel Ksheira. And these are the Tzinei Arbarzel that are Ksheiros. Again, I want to say, no, Tzinei Arbarzel grow on a mountain. There's just another two of these. But the Itzer wants to read it literally, like the Tosfos Yontif, and like the Aruch Haner, that these are the Sinei Har Barzel. V'zeh Pischo Shel Gehenim, this is the opening of hell. And that's why hell is called Gehenim, after Gei Ben Hino. Says the Itzer, quoting the Onim, you know why it's puzzle if each leaf doesn't reach the next leaf? Because then the spine is exposed, and there's smoke coming out of the ground from Gehenna. And then it gets Yavish. There's no leaves to protect the spine, and it gets the smoke from Gehenna, it dries out and it's a soul of Yavish. Okay, that is quite an assumption.
Well, why would that be a general Easter then? Normally it should be fine. There, you know, you're a little growing in your backyard, you don't have smoke, it should be
so
fine.
Apparently he thinks there are only two Tzinei Har Barzel in the world, and they grow by the entrance of Gehenna.
Yeah, but he's bringing halacha that for all Lulav.
No, who's he?
Isn't just saying Tzinei Har Barzel Lulav?
I'm not doing the Levush now. I'm talking about the Itzer.
The Itzer, right.
The Itzer thinks there are only two Tzinei Har Barzel in the world.
Yeah. But Lulavim should grow other places.
Yeah, Lulavim that grow other places if they're too short or kosher. Only the ones that grow there are puzzle. That's a big fish.
Is he quoting the Gaon?
Yes. Okay, but it's still a big fish. He says, because of Yavish, that's a big fish because, A, first of all, it's a big chiddush, just like if it's Yavish, we already know the soul of Yavish. Why do you need to tell us this? You need to tell us every hechi tendency of Yavish, every circumstance that it could be Yavish, you don't need to make its own halacha. And B, I thought from the Rishonim that Tzinei Har Barzel grew other places also, in which case they don't all have smoke.
Maybe it's saying something to do with the fact that normally you have to look and see if it's Yavish. Here
you have an assumption. Right, okay, fair enough. The simpler pshat is that another of the Yavish just has to do with shortness of the leaves. Says the Levush, what's the problem with short leaves? It's a psul of Hadar. Right? Doesn't look nice if the leaves are so short. Okay, aesthetic judgments, you have to draw the line someplace.
That's the point that there's a steer in the prices that talk about Tzinei Har Barzel, and that's the resolution of the steer. It sounds like it's only a different Tzinei Har Barzel.
But if Tzinei Har Barzel means loving with short leaves, then yeah, it's only dim the short leaves that they might be very short. Levush. Ritva says, the Ritva, he's discussing Lulavim, he's originally discussing Lulavim, whose leaves fall off and leave some of the spine revealed. So he says, that's hustle, why? Because it's Ain Shmo Alav, it's an Ufta. Now I know, technically Ufta means a piece of the trunk. But he means that the definition of an ufta is something not covered by leaves. Something not covered by leaves is not a kapos tamarim. It's ein shmo alav. And therefore, it's ein shmo alav. It's an ufta. It's just a piece of wood because it's not fully covered by leaves. And as the Ran points out, when the Ran says something parallel to the Ritva, the Ran and Ritva almost always say the exact same thing, and some say it in different ways, the Ran says, and this, the mukar, this psul, that when it's not fully covered by leaves, it's ufta, is Tzinei Har Barzel. So I would say the Ran and the Ritva say Ein Shmo Alav. It is an ufta. Ein Shmo Alav, it's an ufta if it's not fully covered by leaves. Or at least part of it's an ufta, and if part of it's an ufta, then it is not a kavos marim. The Sfas Emes and Chav Tesem and Beis says a little differently. He says, Ein Shmo Alav, meaning it's partially an ufta, partially Ein Shmo Alav. The Sfas Emes says a little differently. He says, Ein Shmo Alav, it's not covered, because, exactly, not because summer's revealed Ein Shmo Lav, but because a leaf that's so short doesn't count as a leaf, and it's as if it doesn't exist. So here, the Sfas Emes also says, Ein Shmo Lav, Ufta, he just says, a little differently, the Ran and the Ritva sounds like it's Ein Shmo Lav because the Shidra is not fully covered. He says Ein Shmo Lav because a short leaf doesn't count as a leaf. Again, it's very similar, just like they say the problem is that like that half an inch it doesn't reach makes it an ufta. And he says, no. If the whole 2 inches of that leaf is an ufta, it makes it an ufta. Right? If, you know, here's one leaf, and here's the next leaf, and according to Richard Lebron, this part makes it an ufta. And according to the Sfas Emes, this part makes it an ufta, because that leaf doesn't exist, because that's not called a leaf. That's just called a spike. The Bikurei Yaakov seems to go a little further.
That would be a big nafka mina, wouldn't it? I mean, if he says it's not full, if you only need rove.
Aha, okay, correct. Let me get back to that in a moment. Yes?
You also have to remember, what if you have long leaves, but they don't reach one to the other?
So apparently the Sfas Emes is not machshiv that. But we'll see a nafka mina in a moment. Let me just point out that the Bikurei Yaakov, which is the Aruch Lener's Perush on Shulchan Aruch, he took Masechta Sukkah very seriously. He wrote the Aruch Lener in many Masechtas, but he also wrote on Hilchas Sukkah and Lulav, a Perush called Bikurei Yaakov on Shulchan Aruch. This is in the back, called Tosefta's Bikurim, where people asked Kashas and then he answered that. And he dealt with people who talked about what he wrote originally. He responded. Anyway, in the Bikurei Yaakov, he seems to go a little further. Because he's dealing with the question of the Morik Tzia. The Morik Tzia, which Rav Yaakov Emden says, just like a lulav, where each leaf doesn't reach the next leaf is possible, so to a hadas, where each leaf doesn't reach the beginning of the next leaf is possible. Most of the hadasim we buy, each leaf goes higher than the beginning of the next leaf. But you can imagine, you're going to have hadasim where the leaves are a little more sparse, and each leaf does not reach the beginning of the next leaf. So the Morik Tzia says that's possible, just like Tzinei Harav Barzel. Just like Tzinei Harav Barzel is possible. And Rav Yaakov, that's Rav Yaakov Emden in the Morik Tzia. Rav Yaakov Etlinger in the Bikurei Yaakov argues on him, and he brings a few arguments on him, including Yerushalmi, which seems to say, which explicitly says not that way. But one of his points is, he says, no, you can't make an extrapolation, a sushdel, from Tzinei Harav Barzel to Hadas. Because it's halacha, which we see now, it's Tzinei Harav Barzel, she'ein rosh shedem agili korshel zeh pasul, the lav min lulav hakasherhu. It is not the species of lulav that is kasher. He makes it sound like it's even more further away from kasher than ofta. Ofta means the wrong part of the tree. He makes it sound like, no, a Tzinei Harav Barzel, where one leaf doesn't reach the next leaf, is not even called the species of lulav. It's a different species. And that's why it has a name for it. Tzinei Harav Barzel. Okay, some Tzinei Harav Barzel can be classified in the same species, and some in a different species. So I think he's going a little further.
You don't even the same tree?
What?
You don't even the same tree? One has the bricks.
I'm not I don't know, because maybe he doesn't think there's such a mitzias. Tzinei Harav Barzel seems like it's talking about the tree, not the lulav. It doesn't say lulav Harav Barzel. It says Tzinei Harav Barzel. And Tzinei means the color.
They're all going to be that.
Yeah, now what would be if a tree would be part one way, part the other way? I don't know. Maybe he thinks that there aren't such trees.
Isn't the Bryce, the Gemara mentions the Bryce, which says there are Tzinei Harav Barzel, which are covered.
Okay, fair enough. So you have to say that some Tzinei Harav Barzels are different men, some are not. Okay, if you take him literally, he could say it is a min acher. No, this is a different kind of species. Now, again, I don't know how the scientists would say it in Latin. But definitely, you know, things that have shorter parts and longer parts are sometimes considered different species. At least, you know, for our purposes. Now, what are the obvious nafkaminas? So the nafkamina, which the nafkamina, which is a little tricky. His nafkamina, which I can't really tell what anyone else would say about, but his nafkamina is that if it's just a different species, then by Hadas we have no Masur, it's a different species. And therefore he says, the Psol would not apply to Hadas. You know, I'm reluctant to like say what everyone would say about this, because it's sort of random. Whatever you think the Psol is, it may or may not apply to Hadas, because Hadas has its own rules. But that's the purpose, that's the context in which he said it. Okay, the obvious nafkamina is going to be the question of Well, one obvious nafkamina is going to be what about Yom Tov Sheni, right? According to Levush, the Psul of Hadar, remember, if by now we can I can just use shorthand. For Sfardim, you don't need Hadar and Yom Tov Sheni, only for Ashkenazim you do, without causing the whole list of Rishonim. Right? So according to Levush, it should be kosher for Sfardim. I remember by Sfardim I mean the Rambam and and the Ramban and the Ritva, etc., as opposed to Rashi and Tosfos. Because you don't need Hadar. But of course if it's Ein Shmoa Lav or different men, then obviously there's nothing to talk about. Obviously it's puzzle. Whatever, it's not a kapos tvarim. If it's not a kapos tvarim, there's nothing to talk about. The other nafkamina would be, what about shas hadchak? If it's a lack of hadar, then you should take it to shas hadchak. Okay, except for the funny Rambam says only lul of yavish, but everyone else agrees that at least all psuli hadar and intol of shas hadchak, right? Noklin b'shas hadchak, except according to the Rambam, who restricts it to lul of hayavish. But everyone else says either it means ol psuli hadar or it means ol psulim. But if it's ein shmoa lav, if it's not the object we talked about, then
maybe the zecher.
Okay, then you have to ask. Then you have to ask: is it a problem of asil if misrach, etc.? The pashup shot would be that if it's ein shmoa lav, it shouldn't be nital even b'shas hadchak. So
no.
What? That would be the Pashup Shah. The other interesting nafkamina here is you get into a bit of a tricky question, which the Sfas Emes brings up here, which is, what if it's part of it is Magilas Adi Karshal Zeh, and part of it is not? Right? That's not 100% clear. What if it's some are longer and some are shorter? Do you go by Rove, or do you say if even one of them is too short, it's puzzle? Look hard, if even one of them is too short, like all the way at the bottom and 6 fucking long, Pashas, that's not a problem. You just cut it off. And even if you didn't cut it off, most folks can assume it's not a problem. But let's say you have 4 tefach lulav, and within the 4 tefach lulav, there's one short leaf. Is that kosher or pasul? The Sfas Emes has two opinions about this. At first, he agrees with Rishonim that it's pasul, and then he assumes it's kosher. But let's assume, right? Let's assume for a moment. Let's assume for a moment the Pashas of the Ritva Tehran against the Maskana of the Sfas Emes. And what am I assuming? I'm assuming that even one short leaf is possible. Right? Let's assume even one short leaf is possible. The question would be, is there a difference between Sinei Har Barzel, which grew short, versus Nashru Mitzas Olav, if some of the leaves fell off and revealed some of the spine? So what would be the din of Nashru Miktas Olav Vinisgale Mio Hashimra? Would the same soul apply if some leaves fell off and revealed the Shidra as if the leaves were short in the first place? Right? Meaning the question is, right? Is falling off the same as Sinei Har HaBarzel or not? Right, that's really the question. Is falling off the same as Sinei Har HaBarzel or is it not? So, what would you think? If the Sol Nishom Hadar, is it just as bad if it falls off later as if it started out that way? What would your logic be?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks the same, right? Then you would think it should be puzzle.
Wouldn't it be the same as Dekta Rosha, though? We're talking about most of the leaves coming off, it would be puzzle anyways.
What?
I think most of the leaves coming off would be puzzle anyways.
I said some of the leaves came off. Let's say it was a bare lulav. It was a, okay, the Chazanish says you can have a kosher lulav with five leaves.
Wasn't it Rashi with Tiomet that he said that if it grew that way, it's worse than if it cut that way?
With him, if you mean. Okay. It could be, but there it's different because here it's not just a matter of ruler wave versus cut. It actually looks very different. If something just was cut and it flops a little, that looks different than if it grew in two directions. I mean, it's, you know. Now, how about if you say it's ain't small love because the shidra is not fully covered? Then you would think, here also the shidra is not fully covered. You've turned it into an ufta, it should be possible. But, says the Sfas Emes, he says that even as Havmina, when he thinks Tzinei Har HaBarzel passes with one little gap, he says, no, but the reason why Tzinei Har HaBarzel is puzzled is because it doesn't have a leaf. Because that's not a leaf. But over here, there are leaves. Right? Over here, there are leaves. So he says, kosher, because the leaves do count. Ah, oh, you have one tiny millimeter that's revealed, but it doesn't matter. It's not a psalm. The problem wasn't the shidra was revealed. The problem is that the leaves were not leaves. And here the leaves are leaves. Just some of them fell off. Okay, the leaves do count. And according to Pikuriyako, I think it's Pusher's precusher. It's not a different min. If a few leaves fell off, it doesn't change what min it is. Right? And this is a fundamental machlokas between the... this is a fundamental machlokas. Who says pasul? The pashtus of the Ritva and the Ran say pasul, and the Chazan Ish paskins this way. In Kof Mem Vav, Sif Chaf Hey, if I recall correctly, I didn't put up in Koros. Who says kosher? The Sfas Emes says kosher, but more interestingly, the Bir Halacha of the Mishnah Berurah says kosher. He thinks even the Ran and Ritva say think it's kosher, which the Chazan Ish says, I don't think you read them properly. That was in brackets on the Makoros. And he quotes from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, who also says this case is kosher. Right, if some of the leaves break, then even if a little is revealed, it's kosher. So I think this is the most interesting nafkamina. If you say that Sinei Har HaBarzel that are short are puzzled to the wrong species, but if you have the right species and some break off, it's not puzzled. If you say it's puzzled to those aren't called leaves, but if you have leaves and one breaks off, it's not puzzled. But if you say no, when the shidra is revealed, it turns into an ufta. Anything with any bit of shidra revealed is an ufta. Here shidra is revealed. And if you say it's not harder, then here it's harder. So that should be Lamia's Daiti, the most interesting nafkamina of this Chakira. Okay, now we are ready to go on. Agav, we ended with this idea that the Tzinei Har HaBarzel grow at the entrance to Gehenna. The Gaon Erevin also counts all the entrances to Gehenna in the world. It counts this. There's definitely something that needs to be said. I'll be drush. Why are Tzinei Har HaBarzel represent the entrance to Gehenna? Right? What's the philosophical idea being hinted at by Tzinei Har HaBarzel being the entrance to Gehenna?
If you have a lulav that doesn't have all its leaves, it's like a person without all his mitzvahs and things. So yes.
Okay, but the Tzinei Har HaBarzel aren't without leaves, they're just with short leaves.
Yeah,
remember, I was bringing up Gamina.
Everybody has a little, but they don't have what they're supposed to have.
Okay, so I think that it could be that if you're willing to, I saw actually in the Achronim, there's a Marsha that I don't really get. The Marsha in Erevin says that these were the sweetest fruits they used to eat. So sweetness of palm trees is what gets you into Gehenna, running after your taiba of sweet things. But I don't understand that at all, because then it could have been any palm trees, not Dafka, Tzinei Har HaBarzel, right? That's unless he'd say, no, there were any palm trees, but the smoke made them stunted. So Marshall seems to think it's not special at Tzinei Har HaBarzel, just palm trees are the way into Gehenna, because, you know, they just make beer out of it, and they make sweetness, you run after drinking and sweets, and the sweet things in life, and you end up in Gehenna. The Sam Sofer right here said that, it has to do with relationships between people, right? The Olam represent the people, you know? do I really relate to you and I overlap with you, or do I barely relate to you? You know, maybe Michi Karl shows that, but not actually talk to you. And therefore, if people don't mechazik each other, they end up in Gehenna. But I thought maybe the Pashtus Pshat was like Morni was saying, that what are these Sinei Har Barzel? They are mitzvos, but mitzvos done, you know, without going all the way. Right? It's interesting. Sinei Har Barzel, Sheiros, Chazal said, Zeo She'amru, Zeo She'aninu, Sinei Har Barzel, Sheiros, Zeo Pisco Shel Gehenna. Something can be kosher. It can be kosher, you can be Yotzei. But you know what? If you're always barely Yotzei, if you don't take things further, then that's this doorway to Gehenna. You don't go to Gehenna, but you're already at the doorway to Gehenna. And I think that could be an interesting, Lanius Daiti, that's the way I would go. The Marsha goes with sweetness. The Chassam Sofer goes with interpersonal relationships and being mechazik each other versus ignoring each other. And I might say, no, Sinei Har Barzel kosher. You can be kosher. You're barely Yotzei. It just made it a tenth of a millimeter in your Yotzei. But if you're barely Yotzei, then maybe, you know, if your mitzvos do not go all the way, that's the doorstep where you're one step, as it were. You're not in Gehenna, but you're one step from Gehenna, and that's not a place you want to be. All right, but everyone can darshan how they want. I never claim to be an expert on drush.
So in the Shita of the Sfat Emet, so the haircut of the Kohen Gadol was the same thing. One hair reaches the ikar of the other hair. So would he say that that's the minimum that you'd still have hair?
Probably. Maybe that would be good right for him, right? Because we know in Yechezkel they're not allowed to shave, but they're not allowed to grow long hair. So less than that would be shaving. Even though in most areas of Halacha there's a different shear for what's called shaving. But I like that comparison. Okay, continuing the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lul Sheshwa Shlosha Tfachim, Amr Yehudam Rishmol, Shear Hadas Varabah Shlosha. They have to be 3 tefachim, the lulav are bon, lulav has to be 4 tefachim. Why? Kadeshi lulav yotzu and hadas tefach. The lulav has to be a tefach higher than the hadas. Interestingly, the Gemara doesn't say that the lulav has to be higher than the hadas. Right? We know the esrog is in your other hand. Right? That's obviously lower. The lulav has to be higher than the hadas. Where's the arava fit in?
It's under the hadas.
So they quote, Al pi Kabbalah, the hadas has to be higher than the arava. But I think it's clearly implied, even in Nigla, in the Gemara. The lulav is a tefach higher than the hadas. Why not the arava? Because the stomach of the hadas is higher than the arava, and therefore the lulav has to be higher than the hadas, and it's obviously also higher than the arava. So here it's a fairly good implication that for our practice, that the hadas should be higher than the arava. Okay, the lulav has to go a tefach out of the hadas.
Isn't there a shear on the aravas that they have to be 3 tefachim?
Yes.
But then you have a problem. If they only have to be 3, and this has to be 3, and this has to be higher than it.
Okay, if they're both barely 3, then correct, then that is a issue, which may be, you know, why you could say it's not a strict halacha that the hadas must be higher than the arava, but perhaps it's, you know, understood that it's preferable. Mastama, everything wasn't a beer. But I hear your taina. If it's the same shear, it's hard to say halachically that one needs to be higher than the other.
Couldn't you understand, according to some of the Rishonim, that if the lulav isn't higher, it's posel, or at least the chakrila, not what you should do?
If the lulav's not higher, yeah. It says right here, the lulav has to be higher. That's the enachanami. Okay, the das and the rabba I will retract. As Morty said, maybe there's a hint here to some sort of practice, but I wouldn't call it a halacha. Okay, you're right. Amar b'yochanan, shidro shalulav, tzor sheishim hadas tefach. Okay, Shmuel says the lulav, meaning the leaves of the lulav, and Rabbi Yochanan says shidro shalulav has to the shidra has to be a tefach more, and then but the leaves don't count. Interestingly, the Rishonim argue whether this ties into, remember the machlos in the Raiv and everyone else, yavesh is yavesh in the shidra or is yavesh in the leaves, right? So the Ran says, that's the machlokus here. That's the machlokus here. Is the lulav the shibra, or is the lulav the leaves? It's not clear if he's saying conceptually or linguistically, but the Ran thinks that Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel would also argue about yavish. That, who came first, Shmuel? No, yeah, Shmuel would say if the leaves are yavish, it's possible, like Walter Rishonim. Rabbi Yochanan would say if the shibra is yavish, it's possible, like the Raivid. The Ritva thinks, no, they're not arguing about that. This is just a local machlokes about Nianua and the Shira of Lulav. but as a, you wouldn't broaden it to anything else. Okay, but that's just a side point. The Gemara asks, how can you say that you needed to go up a tefach tan lulav shisho gimel tefachin elon neabo kosher? The lulav only needs three tefachin to shake, not four. Ema uchdei lan neabo. No, it means three tefachin plus kadei lan neabo, and that's how we paskin. Mark the isla, mark the isla, one, including the leaves, and one, not including the leaves. Toshma shir hadvar rava shloshov lulav arba. My love, Alvin said the lulav has to be four. Doesn't that sound like Shmuel with the leaves? No, really, Rabbi Yochanan would say it means without the leaves. Okay, that is the most lumpish part of our sugya, that the lulav has to be a tefach higher than the hadas and the arava. The What word did I say wrong according to the Pirush Mishnayos?
If you realize it, then you could say.
Okay, you objected to one word I said, right?
Yeah.
If I would have said the lulav has to be a tefach longer than hadas and arava, you wouldn't have objected, right? Now the question is, what is this tefach de lananea? Why does the lulav need an extra tefach de lananea? L'chora your menanea all the minim, right? We're menanea all the minim, right? So why do you need a tefach extra of lulav kidei l'nanea? If you would have said halacha l'mosh misina, you need an extra tefach in the lulav because God decided that since lulavs are big, you should take more of them. If a seder, I would have accepted that. But that's not what they said. You dafka only need a tefach kidei l'nanea. What's the svara? You need an extra tefach l'nanea. Why do you need a lulav more than anything else? So the Ram of the Perusha Mishnah here, which he could also think in the Mishnah Torah, because the Mishnah Torah doesn't say anything too specific. But what does the Rambam say? A big chiddush in the Perusha Mishnah, like, not like any of us think. He doesn't even say quite so many words, but makes it sound.
You have to shake it till they open up.
No, that's not the Rambam Perusha Mishnayos. I'll read you the Rambam Perusha Mishnayos, right? Hopefully Joel was not the only one who noticed there was something peculiar here. Hopefully me and Joel are right. Where do they keep Perusha Mishnayos here? Before the riff, thank you. My goal is, before I hit 70, I'm going to remember where the Perush Mishnayos of the Rambam is in Oz V'Hadar.
That 70 is a crucial age. Stop going the other way.
Says the Rambam, listen hard. Varmer gimel tvachin k'dei l'nanea osam, rotzebo u k'dei l'nanea, and k'dei l'nanea. Okay, that's the Gemara, and k'dei l'nanea. In Yano, k'deish yovzenu b'yado, to hold it in your hand, v'yanea, and shake it. V'ushir tefa, how big is your hand? A tefach, by definition, right? Obviously, hand is a tefach. What does the Rambam say? Does the lulav have to go, it has to go out of tefach from hadas and arava? Does the Rambam Perush Mishnayos think it means it has to go up a tefach higher than hadas and arava? Than the hadas? Or does he mean, Joel, it has to go a tefach lower than the hadas? Unlike what we do. Perush Mishnayos says, no, the lulav has to be a tefach lower. It just has to go out from the hadas. Who said higher? Has to go lower than the hadas. I have to go lower than the hadas atefach. Why do you have to go lower than the hadas atefach? Now we understand. What are you going to hold kidei l'nanea? You're not going to hold the hadas and shake it. The wall will break out of your hand. But the lulav is nice and strong. If you hold the lulav, then whatever is tied to it, you can shake it very nicely because everything else is very light. The lulav is very strong and heavy. You just need a good grip on the lulav. Get a good tefach grip on the lulav. And then tie everything together, and you can shake it very nicely. That's what it sounds to me like the Rambam Perush Mishnayos. Shevam zenu biyado v'ushir tefach. So the tefach is lower, not higher. That is not what anyone else in the world thinks, but that's what the Rambam says in the Perush Mishnayos, no?
Well, why can't you your hands on the hadas and the
ravos? And it was, why not hold everything in your hand, the lulav and hadasim and the ravos? Excuse me. So, according to the Rambam Perush Mishnayos, why not just hold everything in your hand? So I would say one of two things. One of which for sure makes sense. This for sure makes sense. Maybe in a Hanami. Of course, they could all be four tefachim and you could hold them all. It just means that although this is not going to work in the Mishnah Torah, but in the Perush Mishnayos, maybe in Chaim they go before Tefachim. Just means the Hadas and Rava don't have to be for Tefachim, because you don't have to hold them in your hand. The Lulav has to be for Tefachim.
Maybe you could also say that if you're holding it like that, you can hold it. You have to have igud. And if you're holding it with your hand, the igud doesn't count. That's why you have to hold the bottom.
That's a big chiddush.
I know. But
that's a big chiddush. Okay. You have to say something. It's a big chiddush. It's not clear in the Rambam Mishnah Torah if he agrees with this, because he doesn't say anything, and certainly it doesn't sound that way in the Mishnah Torah, which it's okay. He doesn't have to agree. He's allowed to change his mind between Perish and Mishnayis and the Mishnah Torah. Chesky?
It wouldn't be shaking, the thing that's in your hand. When you have a grip on something, right, the thing that's in your hand isn't shaking.
Exactly. You need to shake the three tefachim by holding one tefach.
Right.
Right.
I mean, so it could go all the way down. Right.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't have to shake. Mm-hmm.
The hadas could be shaken via the lulav.
No, I mean, there's only two tefachim of hadas that are shaking. Holding one of them.
No, that's what I'm saying. Maybe if it was four tefachim, you'd be allowed to hold one of them. But if there's only three, exactly. If the hadas is only three, and remember, three was hard to find, the Gemara says.
Maybe held like the rabbi. Only the lulav has to shake.
Okay, Efsher. What does he say here? He says that Shidro Shalulov Yotzim and Hadas Varaba Tefach O Yoser. Okay. He unclear. Okay, that's one shot.
According to that, that means the Shidro is going to be under.
Yes, according to this,
and
it seems like.
And all the Nidivin are going to be equal on top.
That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. Yes. So, why Davka the Lulav needs Tefach Kedei Lenanea? Why Dafka the Lulav? Why don't they only Tefach Kedei Lenanea? So according to the Rambam Perush Mishnayis, it's radical, and it's not the Halacha. But it makes sense. And maybe that's what he was bothered by. He was bothered by what's special about the Lulav? What's special about the Lulav that only the Lulav is a useful handle? The other Minim are not a useful handle. Says the Rambam Perush Mishnayis, because only the Lulav is a good handle. And it goes down a tefach, which is very radical. Very radical. But maybe the Rambam was stuck. He's like, why does the lulav need an extra tefach? Just give everything a tefach for Yanua. You never heard you're only going to need the lulav. So the answer is, it's a handle. Okay, but that's very radical, because we paskim means go up a tefach. So I go up a tefach. So here says the Rit from the Ram later on, Daf Lamed Zayin. They use this, by the way, this is their main proof for a fundamental machlokes in terms of the definition of Nianua. What does Nianua mean? There's a machlokes. The Torah quotes a machlokes. He says, the Iter and the Gon, I don't know which Gon, say Nianua means moving it in six directions. That's Nianua. Right? And I think many Sfardim follow that, even though it may or may not be shot in the Mechaber. But the Nianua means moving in six directions. And they say Nianua of a lulav is the exact same thing as Tnufa, or Hanafa, right? Of the Mincha. And other things in the Mikdas, the Chazav Ashok, etc. Just means you move it in six directions. Okay. But what do we say? Is it just moving in six directions? Or is there something else meant by Nianua? It means kishkush. It means you rustle the leaves, right? You shake it and make noise. Right? Besides moving in six, that's the question. Is the six directions what we call the holocha v'hava'a? Is that the Nianua? Or is that the context of the Nianua? That's the machlokas. Nianua equals holacha vava, or no? You do Nianua during the holacha vava. Right? You have to do Nianua this way, and Nianua that way, and Nianua that way, or just moving it that way is Nianua. This is a fundamental machlokas, Rishonim, quoted by the Torah. Says the Rif Haran, I'll prove to you that Nianua means actual shaking. And it's pretty clear that's also the sheet of Tosos and the Rush. Although they don't like discuss it. I think they take it for granted. They don't like discuss it as a big machlokas. Maybe in Ashkenaz, it was taken for granted. So they didn't discuss it a lot. In Sfarad, it was a big controversy. So what's their proof that Nianua means kishkush? Means shaking the leaves, not just moving in six directions. The proof is, why did the lulav need to be a tefach higher for Nianua? If Nianua is moving in six directions, then all the minim should be equal. And what do you need extra tefachim? You move it in six directions. But if ni'anua means you shake it and make noise, why is the lulav special? We all know why the lulav is special. Because you shake the hadas, it doesn't make noise. You shake the arava, it doesn't make noise. Right? Where do we learn, the Gemara says, where do we learn ni'anua from? What pasuk? Az yuraninu kol atzei yar. All the trees sing praises of Hashem. How do they sing praises of Hashem?
Make noise.
They have to make noise. You have to make noise if they sing praises of Hashem. And therefore, only the lulav is the ni'anua. Your moluch may be all of them, but you're only menanea the lulav because the... I mean, you're also menanea the hadas, but it doesn't do anything. Right? There's no singing. The hadas doesn't sing when you shake it. The arava doesn't sing when you shake it. The esrog certainly doesn't, but the lulav does. That's why, at least Ashkenazim are very makbid. You know, sometimes they sell the lulav, and it's mamish yasharkish sharvit. It's like, not glued together with glue, but it's like stuck together from growing. So, at the very least, Ashkenazim are very makbid, that if you buy a lulav and it's all stuck together, you have to open up, you have to separate the leaves a little. I don't mean separate the leaves like nistak with breaking. Just separate the leaves, they're not stuck to each other, because you have to make noise when you shake it. Ah, you have to be very careful at nechlikat yomas, etc. So all the modern day Ashkenazi handbooks say the same eitzah. Separate all the leaves, except for the top ones. The top ones leave together so you don't mess with the tiomas and all these other psulim. But you have plenty of leaves. Separate 10 leaves on this side, 10 leaves on that side. Leave the middle ones pristine. And what if you have the kora, the brown stuff? Leave the brown stuff in the middle and separate them, take off the brown stuff on the edges. And that way, you'll have noise made by rustling the leaves of the lulav, and you want to nechle tiomas halach lemaisa. This is very clear. We paskin. Again, I don't know exactly what the different Sfardim and Hagim are, but I think we're all Ashkenazim here. The apologies if that was a wrong assumption. We paskin, ni'anua means besides halacha vavah, you have to shake it and make noise, which means that if you get your lulav very straight, that all the leaves are stuck together, you have to unstick them in order to be mekayim ni'anua.
Isn't there a third possibility that the item which is in the center, like everything, you're strapped together, if it goes beyond them, that you can wave back and forth and flop. Like, I don't know the right
word. It's not the kiss because of the leaves going back and forth to each other, but the flopping of that,
that's not new. And only something which is sticking out
of
a tight package would then bend where the whole package moves back and forth.
Okay, I mean, that might depend where you tie the package. If you tie the package to the bottom, they can all bend. Anyway, let me just put this down. Says the Rit from the Ran, and they use this as their main proof. They're fighting the Itter, right? They are arguing against the Baal HaItter. And how do they argue against the Baal HaItter? They say we have only one proof in Shas that Ni'anua, we just think that's what it means. We think Ni'anua means you rustle it and make noise, not just you move it in six directions. But we have only one proof, and the proof is right here. Why the lulav needs to be higher? Because the lulav needs to make noise, and you know what? As long as the lulav is stuck between the Dasam and Aravos, then it's not going to be able to make its full Oziran Ratzeyar that it needs to. So you have an extra tefach, so it won't be encumbered by anything and will be able to make its full rustling sound.
But there's another reason. If you don't have it sticking out of the tefach, it's covered around by the Adasa and the Rovos, you don't see the Luluf.
Well, I mean, that depends. If you have the Medig of 70 or 71, with us, we usually, us Ashkenazim do two or three.
No, but you use the basket, and that covered, if it didn't stick out, you could hardly see it.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm convinced.
The Rambam could still say his sparrows, though, even without
conceding. Yeah, okay, give me a second. Says the Rit from the Ran, because only the lulav makes a rustling noise, and therefore you need to give it space to make its rustling noise. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. However, says the, if you take that sheet, what about the Baal HaItter? What's he going to say? Baal HaItter holds that ni'anua just means you go in six directions. So, then why do the lulav need to stick up a tefach? So, we just have to say that somehow the ikur ni'anua is with the lulav. Even not because of a rustling sound, not because of the handle. This is, right, what's the Baal HaItter going to say? He's not the Rambam. And he's not the Rit from the Ran. He's the one that they're arguing. They don't say by name, but Mestama, he's the one they're arguing against. So, and the Gaon. Sorry, you just have to say that we know Misvara, or maybe I shouldn't say Misvara, I think the rich will around have a good case, because how do you know, Misvara, that the lulav is more important? It seems to be a very nice proof. But the other option is, you just have to say, and this is what the Rav assumed, that we know that the Iker Nianua is with the lulav. We know the Iker Nianua is with the lulav. How do we know? What makes us think the Iker Nianua is with the lulav? So here... the brachas with the lulav. And why does the Gemara say the brachas on the lulav? Because it is the tallest. What do you mean the tallest? That's a little circular. After all, why not make something else taller? No, not the tallest in your hand. That would be circular reasoning. Put the tallest in your hand. It's the tallest in nature. And who says that in Ardaf? Rashi says, right? What does Rashi say? Kishem shugavoa b'mino. Gavoa b'mino, from the Gemara later on, clearly means when it grows. After all, how tall is a palm tree? How tall is a willow tree? How tall is a myrtle bush? And how tall is a citron tree? The myrtle bush is pretty short. The citron tree and willow trees are reasonable, but the palm trees are way higher than anything else. That's a double repulsion. Palm trees are super way higher than any of these other things. So, Rashi says, Gavobamino, interesting, I now have a diuk from Rashi. Not a diuk mukhra. I have a diuk from Rashi that he holds you don't need to make noise with the leaves. Because if he held like the Rishon LeRan, why wouldn't he have said that's the reason? Okay, it's an argument from silence, so it's not a proof.
But Rashi on the Mishnah says that Nianua is Malu Morid.
What?
Rashi on the Mishnah.
Is Malu Morid. Okay, so Rashi's a good pattern. So, what would we say? We would say, let's just point out, that Rashi, right, we can prove that Rashi holds... like the Iter, I want to have a diuk. Adi points out it's beforeish. Rashi on the Mishnah of Kedei L'Nanea says, Mefarshu Gemara, that what is Nianua? Mala Omorid Molich Umevi. Nianua is just moving in directions. And that's why, right? Let's say this a little better. But what about the Iter and Rashi, who say that they say Nianua doesn't mean rustling. They say, as Rashi on Chavtesam and Beis says, Nianua, and the Iter, you'll have to take my word for it, look it up in the Torah, Sidon Tav Reish and Aleph, or look it up in the Sefer Iter. Nianua equals Molech Umevi. It just means moving it back and forth. So then, why is the Lula special? So that Rashi, Lashitase, Rashi says, Gavoa b'mino. It's because the lulav is gavoa b'mino. Since the lulav is gavoa b'mino, therefore it also needs to be gavoa k'dei l'naneya in the eged. What is the svara? So Rashi's great. Rashi and Chafetz and Reis is stuck because he doesn't hold like the Rik from the Ran, and no one wants to see like the Ran Pirush Mishnayos. That's too radical. So therefore he has to make something else up. What does he make up? That it's gavoa b'mino makulam, which he doesn't make up. The Gemara later on says that's why you say al n'tilas lulav and not al n'tilas hadas. Because it grows the tallest, so too it grows the tallest. Who cares that it grows the tallest? And how's that connected to Nianua? So here's where the Rav adds. So what? So the Rav, the Rishima Shirim here, says a few things. He says, no, what is Nianua? What is the kiyum of Nianua? So here it's a little tricky. The Gemara says, why do you do Nianua? Why does the Gemara say you do Nianua?
To stop right.
The bad winds and the bad precipitation. Right? The bad dew and the bad winds. Okay, now here it's a little tricky. Does the Gemara mean that the key of this is the reason we do Nianua is we want to have a key of making a force field against bad forces of nature? Or no? The Gemara means that that the effect of Nianua is that it helps save us from these bad things. But maybe that's not the kiyum of Nianua. After all, the Gemara has another line what the kiyum Nianua is. Anyone remember another line the Gemara says? I apologize, I didn't tell you to look at this Gemara in advance. Is we go for directions for the Misha Arbarucha Shalom, the Misha Shemaim Arutz Shalom. We praise Hashem, who is the master of the four corners of the earth and the heavens and earth, right? Who is, remember kindergarten, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. So where did they get that from? They got from the Gemara about Nianua. that we're praising Hashem. And it could be, even if you say it's to save us from the bad forces of nature. It's not that we're trying to stave off bad forces of nature. We're trying to praise Hashem. The reward for praising Hashem, Mida Keneged Mida, if we acknowledge that Hashem is the master of the four corners, the four Ruchas Olam, then He'll save us from the bad Ruchas Olam. If we acknowledge that Hashem is the master of Shemayim Ba'aretz, He will bless the Shemayim Ba'aretz. So it could be the Tzakim of Shevach. The Rav, remember the Rav in the beginning of this parak says, the Iker Kiyim is Shevach. And that was the idea of Ritzoy, the Shatosos, not on the Daf, says it's only mitzvah of Avera by Karban, and Lulav, which comes for Ritzoy, and that was the idea of Shevach. Right? Says the Rav, Nianu has a Kiyim of Shevach. If Nianu has a Kiyim of Shevach, then you just have to add one more thing. Who cares Gavog Mina Bekulam? Who cares? Says the Rav, no, after all, what praises Hashem more? Right? Now, obviously philosophically, right? Philosophically, quantity is not so relevant. Right? Philosophically, it's really no more remarkable that philosophically an elephant is no more remarkable than a flea. But we're not talking about philosophically, we're talking about experientially. Experientially, an elephant is more remarkable than a flea. When you see a flea, you don't say, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Mishana HaBrios. When you see an elephant, you say, Mishana HaBrios. It is something very impressive. Philosophically, we all know there's no difference between the Atlantic Ocean and a inflatable kiddie pool in my backyard. Right? Water is water. But when I fill up the inflatable kiddie pool in my backyard, I don't say a bracha. When I see the Atlantic Ocean, I say, Sha'asa Seyam HaGadol. Clearly, there is a Shevach of Hashem in grand things. The grander something is, the more it's Meshabeach Hashem. I haven't checked in Perek Shira if that works out. I'm not sure how to measure it in those terms. But, I don't know, do bigger things say more words in Perek Shira? You have to check it out. But I think it's a Svara. The grander and something is, the more it praises Hashem. And therefore, that says the Rav, that's Gavoh Amino Mikulam. The taller something is in nature, the more it praises Hashem. The more we see, whoa, that's Masa Hashem. Just like L'Havdil Elef Alfei Avdolos. If you see a skyscraper, you're more impressed by the engineers and the architects than if you see a regular house. So if you see Gavoh Amino, you're more impressed by the divine engineer than if you see a regular tree. We're impressed all the time. We strive to be impressed all the time. But nonetheless, so I think that's what the Rav says. The Rav says this works if, and here's Rashi's extension. When it says bracha, it's gavoh b'mino. Why does it say al-tilas lulav and al-tilas hadas? Because it's taller. Could have just said it, okay, we have to pick something, so we'll pick the tallest thing, because the tallest thing is the biggest. You know, you don't need a hesber. We're here. Why do you need a special nianua by gavoh b'mino? So here I think you need the Rav. The Rav says two assumptions. The Rav says nianua equals Shevach, and he adds that the grander part of nature is more Shevach of the Borei. And it's definitely true. Like, these palm trees are very impressive. Okay, they're not the Atlantic Ocean, I understand. But as natural things go, palm trees are very tall, and the taller something is, the more it impresses you with Hashem's bria.
I would have thought that the appropriate bracha would be on the tilat arba taminim.
Okay, that's a great question.
That's what the pasuk says.
It's a great question. It's a great question. Says the Rav that if you see that it's all about shevach, you could say the grander something is the more shevach, and therefore the ikar shevach is with the lulav, and that's what Rashi means by gavoh b'mino.
The Rambam,
I'm sorry.
Does this have any back
of it? That's okay. The Rambam, the Kayan, Dr. Pnezakin. No, that's why I said Zakin and not Seva. I'm dying to my words. What do you think? I'm talking about people's age?
The Rambam, talked about the meaning, and he talked about the social meaning, the meaning that the Torah is Meshabeach Eretz Yisrael with. And the lulav, he says, is the greatest one because it's Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash.
Aha, so it's greater because of the praise of Eretz Yisrael, and that's also part of our praise of Hashem. Very good.
Can this not fall into the fact that you have to shake to make the noise? Because
and you could put this together, for sure. You could put this together. I want to be dyed that Rashi's not putting it together. If you put it together, it's even better.
Right.
If you put it together, it's even better.
I mean, and also, maybe deeply, like I'm trying to say before, it's the same thing. I mean, you need to have one of them sticking out of the package. Otherwise, none of them are really floppy. One of them has to shake. The other ones don't have to shake.
Okay. So, you need to have more shaking, and shaking is more knicker, even if it's not rustling and noise.
Right.
Shaking is more knicker if it's not stuck with other things, and therefore, what would you pick? You would pick the one that's most Meshabeach Hashem in nature. Agav, I'll just point out, this is not Rashi and not the Rav, but I could have said, it could dovetail philosophically, but, you know, all Beis, Gimel, and Dalet could all work together philosophically. Obviously, Aleph is a different ballgame, Legamre. But I have no marker for this whatsoever. But what does the pasuk say? Priates hadar, kapos tamar, va'anafei sevot v'yagri nachal. What's interesting grammatically about the pasuk?
No vav.
There's no vav. I mean, if you put all vavs or none vavs, seder, that's biblical Hebrew style, whatever. You know, biblical idiom. But it's obviously remarkable to have no vav between priates hadar and kapos tamar, and yes vav between kapos tamar, va'anafei sevot v'yagri nachal. There's obviously something significant to that if it changes the policy within one pasuk. So Chazal learned on the simple level. That's how we know that. That igud, you only ma'agid the three, which have the vavs, and you don't put the esrog in the igud. Good things, it would be very awkward. But I'm sure we Jews would have come up with a way to do it. We're clever enough. But you don't have to put the esrog in the igud yet, because there's no vav connected. Okay, that's true on a simple level, but it's interesting then that Esrog stands on its own. Priyat Hadar. Kapos Tamar Vanaf Eitzavos the Avri Nachal. You can even dive in the Pasuk that the Anaf Eitzavos and the Avri Nachal are the Tafel or ancillary to the Kapos Tamar. Again, if it would all be Vavs, I wouldn't be dying anything. You say, you need a Priyat Hadar, just imagine, if I said, you need to bring. If I said you need to bring bread with chicken with bread with chicken with I'm not gonna get this muscle right. bread with chicken with avocados, and I would think they're all equal. If I tell you need to bring chicken, you need to bring bread with avocado. Then what's the diuk? I didn't put them all together. Chickens alone, the avocado, I shmear on the bread. Right? Now, okay, it's not an exact parallel, but maybe there's something. Bring priyat hadar, bring kabos tamarim with anaf eitz avos and arvei nachal. Now, that obviously goes together with gavoa b'mino, but maybe the point is that the anaf eitz avos and arvei nachal are an enhancement of the lulav. And what would make me think that, besides just that I'm a strange guy who wants to make unwarranted yukim and psukim, what have we learned that would make it reasonable to think that maybe the anaf eitz avos and arvei nachal are there to enhance the lulav? Anything we learned in the last couple weeks? Noi, remember? You can't add an extra lulav, according to most Rishonim. But you can add an extra hadas and a rabba, because that's noi. So why is one noy and not the other? You could just say, oh, hadassim are prettier than lulavim. And arabos are prettier than lulavim. I'm not convinced, especially the arabos. You know, are arabos prettier than lulavim? I mean, who am I to get into these politics? But what does noy mean? No, adding a lulav is not noy. Adding a lulav is adding another unit. Adding hadassim and arabos is enhancing the unit, right? What's noy? If I have a car and I put streamers on the car, that's noy. And if I have more streamers, there's more noi. And if I have a stripe and I put more stripes on the car, that's more noi. If I put another car, that's not noi. That's just buying a second car, right? Another lulav is not noi, because the lulav is the ikker. Having two ikkers is not noi. Having an ikker with more decorations than necessary, that's already noi mitzvah. Two esrogs is not noi. Two lulavs is not noi. But the decorations, those are noi. So you couldn't even say, which is not a steer to Rashi. You know, it's just not exactly what Rashi is saying. You could say that it's alpi diuk hapasuk, alpi diuk hapasuk, the ikur is the lulav, and the hadasim va'aravos are noi lulav. And I wouldn't have said that just based on the pasuk, but you put the pasuk together with what the Rishonim say about noi. You put two and two together, And remember, the Rambam said only Hadassim, not Aravos. But then in the Tshuva he said, well, I prefer you follow me, but you're not an Avarian if you follow the Gaonim, who said Hadassim and Aravos. Right? So even the Rambam admitted a little, which uncharacteristically. Hadassim and Aravos are Noi Lulav. And I said, right again, there's two hints to this. The Pasuk and the halakha of Hosafa according to the Gaonim, right? Hosafa, Lefi, the Gaonim, and really the most mainstream opinion about Hosafa is that you could add a Rovos and Hadassim and not anything else. And just the numbers, right? You have one Lulav, one Esrog, but, at least we Paskin, you have two Arovos and three Hadassim. Yeah, the streamers, you put a lot of streamers on each car. You only have one car. The more streamers, the better. You know, at least a couple. Okay, and then the more the better. And that's Hosafa of Noi. And that's why it's not just multiple Hosafa of Noi. Remember, there were Minhagim, which Adang Amazet, the Temanim, and maybe some Sfardim have. You ever see the guys coming in? He's like carrying a barrel full of Hadassim there. One Lulav with 70, you saw them maybe in 100, and the Gematria of this, and the Gematria of that, and, you know, all the different shitas. I think there was 68, 70, 71, and 100 were different shitas that I recall. Okay, so maybe that's another thing. It's not a spirit of Rashi. It would jive with Rashi, but it's coming from a slightly different angle, and that would be a tremendous finish, but maybe it's true.
Just to go back again, I still don't think that the other ones are considered not new. Rashi himself, he says two Rashis later, he says, Eim ebech de l'anayah, right? So, Mash yoti l'malam en ha'eged hu ha'anayah. And that's what I was pointing from. That meaning the other things aren't called part of the shaking. Only the thing that sticks out is called shaking. And Rashi back on the Mishnah, not according to the Lord, when Rashi says that, oh, in order for it to be considered, what is the nadu? It's not like the enters kiskos. We see that you need to have something that's in the waving. But the waving itself, if they were all together, wouldn't be considered waving. You need something sticking out of the package to be considered a proper waving. That is the nadu.
Mashi Yosef, a Malam, and an Eged, who, Hamananea. Whatever's above, and therefore you're saying that the Anua might not be making noise,
right,
but might need
waving. Might be flopping. Yeah, one new wave that goes back and forth.
Might need flopping. And why Dafka the Lulav, you'll stay with the Rav, etc. Not the Rav, it's going to be
Rav.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, it's not so sure anything I wrote there.
No.
Okay, Victor. Now let's get into some technicalities. Ready for technicalities? Chesky, I know I have a little space. Okay. Hopefully there's room for math. Okay, we haven't done math in a while, have we? See, I was nice to you guys. I skipped the first paragraph, so we didn't do math. What? Yeah. Oh, that was the, yeah. Okay, so, Gufa. Gufa, Shir Hadas HaRavah Shlosha B'Luvar Barim Tarifinomor Ba'Amba Bas Chamisha Tfachim Amar Rava and Amba Bas Chamisha Tfachim. Now, what does he mean? Rav and some have a meaning what he means. Now, there are a few different opinions as to exactly what he means, but we will stick with the Pashup Shad of Rashi. He thinks, he's arguing, you said three or four, it's not three or four, it's five, like an Amma. Right? Not three or four, it's five. Amar Rava, and Lechora, he means five for the Hadassim and Aravos and the Lulav. The Ritva says, maybe they thought he meant five for Lulav, four for Hadassim. The Rav says, no, he meant five for Hadassim. So, he says five. You say three and four, I say five. That's a Harhavim. Now, Amar Rava, surely Marilur Tarfon. May Hashem forgive Rabbi Tarfon. Because Rabbi Tarfon is being too machmir. In those days, that was considered a negative attribute. Hashta Avoshlosha Lomashkina and Baskamisha Boy. We can barely find, doesn't mean we can't find, it means we can barely find avos, right, that has to be mesholosh, what we call mesholosh nowadays, we can barely find three tefachim mesholosh. Where do you think we're going to find five tefachim mesholosh? Basically, where Tarfon wants to make us all not do the mitzvah. Okay, so Sharili Mori. Asher Dimeri says, no, that's not where Tarfon meant. You misunderstood where Tarfon. He wasn't being machmir, he was being mako. How is he being mako? He says, I'm about Shisha Tfachim, Aseos of Aschamisha, Tsemiam Shlosh Lahadas, Vahashar, Le Lulav. That what you do is you take and. Okay, the words here, you have to know how to read them. You take a. When you're counting the Tfachim, you don't count regular Tfachim. You take a five Tefach Amma divided in six, and then each sixth of it is, of course, 5/6 of a Tefach. And you use these small tefachim, which are 5/6 of a tefach. That's what he meant. In which case, how much of the four tefachim of a lulav? plus o plus o chamshi, 5/6 times 4. Did I get that right? 5/6 times 4 is no. Five sixths times 4 is 26ths. No, what did I do wrong here? I apologize. This is the I'm a step ahead of myself. What we think now is you take a lulav of 6th and you divide it into 5. Each of those is 1 1/5, right? Each of those, and now you use those tefachim 1 1/5. It needs bigger tefachim, not as big as you thought. In which case, how long does the hadas have to be? Three of those 1 1/5 tefachim for the hadas, rashad lulav, and rest for the lulav. So what's 1 1/5 times 3 is 3 3/5. Kasha Shmuel ad Shmuel. Hacham Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shmuel Shir Hadas Rabbi Shlosh Shabbos Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shmuel Alkir Tarfon. He says only 3, and yet he said Alkir Tarfon 3 3/5. Lo Dok. He was rounding off. He was not exact. And Rabbi Lo Dok Lachomer Lekulim Yerim. We can say Lo Dok Lachomer. Right? I'll round off until you need a little more than you need to be on the safe side. Can't say Lo Dok Lekula if you really need 3 3/5. How can he say 3? Then we'll all take 3 and we'll be Yotze. That's silly. Can't round off Lekula. No, the opposite. You take 5 tefachim, divide into 6, so each one is 5/6. And then, it's 3 of these 5/6 tefachim for hadas, and the rest is for lulav. So how much the hadas then? Then a hadas ends up being 5/6 times 3. 5/6 times 3 is 15/6 is 2 1/2. And really, you only need 2 1/2 tefachim. So Kashi Shmuel, that's against Shmuel. Didn't he say 3? No, lo duck. No, when he said 3, he was rounding off. It's really 2 1/2, and he said 3. And that's okay. Why is it okay that he said 3? So you'll take 3, you'll be on the safe side, right? The hainu lo chomer lo duck, amar vun amar Shmuel, halak ur tarfin, he's possibly ur tarfin, he's lo ducking le chomra. So, let's just review. But, the havmin and the maskana. The Havmina of Rava, and who's the second Havmina in Rabbi Tarfon? Of Ravdimi? Ravdimi and Rava. Okay, we don't have to write Havmina. So, what did he think? He thought he meant that how big is a Hadas? 5. Ravdimi says, no, by 5 he just means you take 6 tefachim and divide them in 5, and each one is 1 1/5. So he just said, no, you need 3 times 6 divided by 5 equals 3 3/5. And Rabban says, no, you need 3 times 5 divided by 6, which equals 2 1/2. And that's how we paskin, and nonetheless he said 3 to be lo duck lechomra. Here we have a machlokas between everyone and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel here says, it's a little hard, but he says in Tartzina La, Kid Rava, Damar Ambas Heos Asiosava, Pirish Amach Amar Tanakama Shir Hadasva Rava, Gimel, Heshif. Let's just see what's the Tanakama. This is Lefi Rabbi Tarfon and Hadas Lefi Tanakama. That's easy. 3 3 3. No big deal. Right? That is how everyone but Rabbeinu Chananel reads it. Rabbeinu Chananel reads it a little differently. Sorry. Rabbeinu Chananel says ha de gufa shira etc. Rava says gufa shira hadzvar gimel tfachim velula dalav or tarfon amber amas hate tfachim amber of huna shorily marilar of tarfon, meaning he has already in the beginning he has that they know it's ba'ama basmisha tvachim. He never had this habit of three tvachim. Right? So what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Let's see if I can get this on the board without confusing us all. I'm going to try my best. Okay? Hadas lefi Rabbi Tarfon. Hadas lefi Tanakama. So at first, when we say Shari Ling Mori, what's the Shari Ling Mori? It's not because we think he needs a five tefach hadas. It's because we think he takes six tefachim, divides them into five, and uses big tefachim for the hadas. The so let's see. Three times six over five equals 3 3/5. And then the Shari Ling Mori is much more subtle. The Shari Ling Mori is much more subtle. You say it's hard to find three. You think we can find 3 3/5 using your five dividing a six tefach amah into five tefachim? No, that's going to be too hard. And then Rav Dimi, ki asar Rav Dimi. The asar Rav Dimi is not a response to Rav, or he is Rav Huna. Forget about the yourselves of who the Amorim are. First stage, second stage, third. It's not a response. It's agreeing. It's agreeing. He says that, exact same thing. He said exactly what we said until now. That Rabbi Tarfon takes this amma that six divides into five, and now his ammas is tefachim that are 6/5 of a tefach, and multiplies by 3 3/5, while the Tanakama holds regular. And there's no, it's not like a stage of hitpachut, like, oh, we reject the first stage and go to the second stage. No. No one says it's a rejection, they just say kiyasa. Rav Huna says Sharlein Mari, and then kiyasa. It's not arguing, it's not changing our mind, we only change our mind once, not twice. And now, what's the big tradition of Rabbeinu Hanano? I don't think these Kiddushim were Tali Habaha. I'm pretty sure they're not Tali Habaha. But what's his next Kiddush? His next Kiddush is Kirava. He is Rava last. We have Rava, Rav Dimi, and Ravin. He has Rav Huna, Rav Dimi, and Rava. But again, I don't think that really matters. Pirish, Amach, Omer, Tanakamish, Yerhadis, Rava Gimel, Hesh, Rav Tarfon, Ba'amach, Just Hate, Fachma, To Omer, Einam, Elva Gimel, Ba'amach, Sot, Vav, Tfachin. It's not that Rabbi Tarfon is saying Ba'am Bas Chamisha Tfachim. Is that he's saying, you say Ba'am Bas Chamisha Tfachim, I disagree. In which case, it's the Tanakama who says that. That what's the Maskana? It's the Tanakama who says 3 times 6/5 equals 3 3/5. And Rabbi Tarfon is saying back, no, it's regular 3. It's regular 3. And what is the low duck? What's the low duck? Here it gets very duchuk. What's the low? Let's see, what's the low duck of Shmuel? Right? The Shmuel low duck. According to the standard reading, he said 3. Instead of 2.5. And that's low duck, lechumra. According to Rabbeinu Hanan, he passed like a Tarfon. But he said 3 using the Chachamim's way of looking at things. He really said 3 3/5. Because he was responding to the Tanakama, and that's low duck, because it's really only 3. Low duck, lechumra. That's what he says. Hainud low duck, sha'ar gimel gimel chumshit. Shmuel said 3 3/5. V'halachi gimel v'vad, but it's really only 3. No, l'chumra lo dak. Okay, it's a very strange reading of Rabbeinu Hananel. It's not the pasuk shot.
Why do they put it in these cryptic terms? Why can't they say it straight?
I'm not sure that's a valid question. Okay. If I have to answer every time you could ask that question, then like,
all right, but it's a general why?
No, so the truth is, according to the according to everyone but the Rach, it's not so bad. No. The Tanakhama said it straight, and Rabbi Tarfon said this chiddush. He says, no, I'm confusing it with this five tefach amma. We all know an amma is 6 tefachim. When he says 5 tefach amma, he's saying I'm changing the measuring scale. And then we argue exactly what he meant, and the Gemara says clearly what he meant. It says 2.5 explicitly, it says 3 3/5 explicitly. So for everyone else, not so bad. Where Rabbeinu Hananel comes from, I must admit, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. The only reason I bring it up is as follows. We have one problem here. What's the problem with the riff in the Rambam? What's the problem with the riff in the Rambam? What did the riff in the Rambam say? What did the riff in the Rambam say? They just say, Hadas va'arava gimel, lulav is dalid. What's the problem? Halacha is like very tarfon. If the halacha is like very tarfon, then how can they say that? Right? What happened to halacha very tarfon? And who is the first one to ask that kasha? The Ravid on the Rambam, right? The Ravid on the Rambam says the Rambam, let me read it to you. Kamashir Oracle Min Mehan, Lula Impulse Arbat Fachim, etc. Vehadas Varava Impulse Shloshat Fachim. Says the Ravid, Gimel Tfachim Ketanim, Shemasora Itzbam Begodel Kerb Tarfon. No, it's three small Tfachim, which are only 10 thuns, which is 2.5 normal Tfachim, like Rabbi Tarfon. So the Ravid objects. The Ravid objects. He says, well, you got it all wrong. So how do we answer up the Rambam and the Riff? How do we answer up the Rambam and the Riff? Right? Ravid Hiksha Shehare Halacha Kirabi Tarfon. How would you answer the Rambam and the Riff? One radical answer, but could be, is that, who do they work perfectly for? Rabbi Nechanan, Rabbi Tarfon really meant three Tfachim. According to Rabbi Nechanan, Rabbi Nechanan, the apostle, very Tarfon. I know his Pirush in the Gemara we really don't understand how he interpreted the Gemara that way. It seems a little crazy to us. But okay, he obviously had his reasons. So one answer might be, this is not what the Akronim say. And maybe the truth is most of the Akronim didn't have access to Rabbi Nechanan, so how would they have thought of this on their own? But one answer is that Pirushu, like Rabbi Nechanan. And according to Rabbi Nechanan, where Tarfon is three, Shalom al Yisrael. However, that most of the Rishonim and Achronim even, the truth is they should know Rabbi Nechanan. I don't know. Sirchiyun. What's the other answer? What does the Magen Mishnah say? The Magen Mishnah answers Pasak Kechachamim. Pasku Kechachamim. Who says we pass like Rabbi Tarfon? Now who says? Shmuel says. Who says we agree with Shmuel? Maybe the rule of the halacha karab and the chacham against Rav Tarfon overrides Shmuel. Now that's a stretch, because usually when you have achrav amorayim, that overrides the rule of yachid v'rabim. So it's a stretch to come up with an excuse why we pass like the chacham here. But somehow they understood that we pass like the chacham. You can add, since in the beginning of the Gemara, we said 3 and 4, right? Remember the beginning of the Gemara when we were talking about the lulav? We said 3 and 4 until we got to the gufa. So maybe that implies we really hold like hachamim. Okay, it's a little duck, we hold like hachamim. What do the Ritva and the Ran and the Meiri say? In different words, but the same thing. Most Rishonim. What do the Ritva, the Ran and the Meiri say? They say, no, the Ran and Riff do passing like Shmuel, but Lo Dr. Chumra. Shmuel himself passed like Rav Tarfon, but said you need three. Right? So he passed like Rav Shmuel. They passed exactly like Shmuel, all the way. The halach is 2.5, but you're supposed to say 3. Lo Dr. Chumra. And meaning, why be half like Shmuel? If you're going to be like Shmuel all the way. Pass like Rav Tarfon and say 3. So they passed like Rav Tarfon and said 3. What does this mean, Lo Dr. Chumra? The Meiri says explicitly, that what this means is that lo dak l'chumra. What does it mean lo dak l'chumra? Stam, we're not exact. No, lo dak l'chumra means l'chachila. You should not be medayik, and you should have 3. It's not just lo dak l'chumra, like we didn't bother to waste words on fractions. No, lo dak l'chumra means l'chachila be machmer and don't be medayik to the last millimeter. Only b'shas hachak b'diavad. In which case, lo dak l'chumra says the Meiri. Lechatchila ve'inan gimel tfachim. Where does he get the idea that we hold like retire from lechatchila ni free tfachim? For Shmuel's lo dak l'chumra. It wasn't just he wasn't expressing himself clearly. He was actually suggesting that everyone get 3 tfachim. What do you do if one time there's some sort of plague or blight or frost and everyone says you can't find 3 tfachim adasim? Then the rabbis know the intricacies of Allah will tell them, okay, this year take 2.5. But normally you should take 3. That, you know, whether that's pshat in the Rambam or not, it's funny. Shouldn't they also say 2.5? Okay, maybe not. Maybe that's a little dope for Chumra. Okay, we have three ways of, these are the three ways I know of justifying the Rambam and the Rif. Most Rishonim say lo dap l'chumra, which is a nice pshat, although you wonder, like, shouldn't they also have thrown in, but b'shas adchak 2.5? The Magen Mishnah said they pass like hachamim, which is a little docha, because since when do we pass like the Rabbim against the hachras ha'amorayim? Or the other option is, they just held like the Rabbeinu Hananel. I know we think Rabbeinu Hananel's pshat is crazy and doesn't make any sense. Okay, but he thought it did make sense. He obviously thought it was a good pshat in the Gemara, maybe we're missing something. And we all know that the Rambam and the Rif, here Masoru was closer to Rabbeinu Hananel's than to Rashi's, so maybe Taka, the other Masoru Rabbeinu Hananel, as strange as it sounds, and therefore they were passing pshat in the Gemara like Rabbi Tarfo. Okay, the last thing I just want to point out is the Kasha of Tosos, Dibur HaMaskel. Tsei Mehem. Says, Tsei Mehem shows the Hadassah of the Lulu appears for conscious for a via show, Safta Malul, Yibetafka Elu. The fourth of the Lulu was also a weird size, smaller Tefach. And one more of these talking lulav. Whatever we say, it's not going to work for a bitarfon. The Mishnah Nida says that there are four things, or the Brisa says, what is it? It is a the timing. Okay. The Brisa says there are five things that are a tefach, and one of them is the Shidr Shalulov is a tefach, meaning it has to go up a tefach, right? Doesn't mean it's a tefach. It means a tefach higher than the Hadas Ne'er Rava. But that's a little strange, because the other things are real tefach. And according to a retired phone, this is only a 5/6 tefach. So what does Tosos say? There's still not a problem. Okay, that Brisa is against for a retired phone. That Brisa is the Tanakama. So, let's just ask the following question. The following question is, how about the Brisa of Chamisha Shi'ura Tefach? But the other things are real Tefach, and this is a 5/6 Tefach. So how can they all have the same Shi'ur? So Tosos answers. And Sukka says, it's the low Kareb Tarfon. That's like Tanakama. You're right. That price is against Kareb Tarfon. Oh, we passed it from Tarfon? Yeah. That price is against Kareb Tarfon. We don't pass like that Brisa. Of course, according to which Rishon in our Sugi, is that not a problem? Rabbeinu Hananel. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, Kareb Tarfon was the normal Tefach, right? Firach, low Kasha Bechlav. Because he thinks Rabbeinu Tarfon is the normal Tefach. The Chacham were not the normal Tefach. Tosos and Nida gives two other answers. One answer is, which is what the Rush says here, says, Mikom Makom Nikra Tefach. He says, don't be so medayik in the Brisa. It says there are five things of the Shear of a Tefach. It doesn't mean they're all the same Shear of Tefach. Five things of a Shear that you call a Tefach. Some are big Tefachim, some are small Tefachim. Don't be such a Yekka. The last answer is what's most interesting. What does Tosos and Nida say? Says that the Tefach Nosaf de Lulav is the Tefach Shalem Afilu Lefi Reb Tarfon. He says, no, Reb Tarfon only argues the three Tefachim Bahadas are smaller Tefachim. But the extra Tefach of a Lulav is a regular big Tefach. Now this is tremendous machlokas. Tosos here, and the first answer to Tosos and Nida assumes the extra tefach is a small tefach. The second answer to Tosos and Nida holds the extra tefach as a regular tefach. This is a tremendous machlokas Rishonim. Rashi says here explicitly it's a smaller tefach, and Tosos says some Gersos have this in the Gemara. Many Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Tor, and the Riaz and the Shulchan Aruch say it's a small tefach. The Ramban and the Ra'ah and the Ritva say it's a big tefach, tremendous machlokas Rishonim. So let's just ask a simple question. What would be lulav? What would be lulav? According to this, it's very easy. Lulav is four, according to Rabbeinu Chanan. Well, no problem. Yeah, three regular tefachim and a regular tefach. What about here? What would be a lulav, according to this? So you have two opinions. Some say 2.5 plus a small tefach of 5/6, meaning 2.5 plus 5/6, which is 3 1/3, is it not?
Yes.
3 1/3. Others say, nope, it's 3.5. Is the extra tefach a short tefach or a regular tefach? This is Tosfos in Sukkah, and this is Tosfos in Nida in his second answer, but not in his first answer. Okay, I'm not going to put all the sheets on the board, but what do we say? Rashi is clearly the base of Tosfos in Sukkah. Rashi says explicitly, right? Tosfos quotes him. Rashi says explicitly that within the Rav Dimi, and then in Ravin it would be a small one. The and who else did I say? I said the Meiri and Rabbeinu Yona and the Ritva are a small one, and the Ramban and the Ra and the Ritva are big ones. Okay, let's just put Ramban and Ritva. We'll put two, and here we'll put Rabbeinu Yona and the Meiri. And if you want to know more, I'm sure you can find it with someplace. Here, okay, this is a very technical machlokas. I'm not sure if we should do anything with it. The Rav says, interestingly, there might be some lumdus to this machlokas. Is the fourth tefach integrated with the first three tefachim or a separate kiyum? Is it that there's a unified din of four tefachim? Or no, a din of three tefachim plus an additional din of one tefach? Right? If it's a din of three tefachim plus an additional one tefach, then it would make sense the additional din is a regular tefach. If it's an integrated unit of four tefachim, then it makes sense that you should add a fourth tefach, similar, equal in size, to the first three tefachim. He wanted to say, what's the machlokas? The machlokas is, we know it's because of Nianua. Is it that because of Nianua we make a new shear of lulav? Shear of lulav is four, or no, the shear of lulav is three, plus you need a shear of Nianua. And then he wants to say, tremendous nafkamina. What if the, okay, it's this. It's like, might sound a bit silly and mitzias. What if the three tefachim were not worshipped as an asher demotion, and the fourth tefach was? What if the fourth tefach is found in the early dachas, and the three tefachim were over the borderline, not in the early dachas? Would you say, because they meant asher for the fourth tefach?
Not so bad, because asher that wasn't planted to be an asher.
Out of the growth, not so bad. So what if the fourth tefach was because they meant asher? If you say it's all the shir lulu, it's a problem. If you say, no, shir lulu is three, just need the anua. Then practically you have the Anua. It's like the Sando Chalitza, according to like the Gemar Pri. Okay, that's what the Rebbe wanted to say. You could take it, you could leave that Nafgamina, but I think that that's the right way to analyze this. Is the fourth Tefach integrated into the Shir Lulav, or is it an additional requirement? That's clearly the way to analyze this Machlokas. I'll just end with one point, the Shutrit. Is Nianua Ma'akev or not? What if you pick up a Lulav and you're not Menane? Is it Ma'akev? What? Someone quote me a phrase from the Gemara. Mida'agve, nafakve. As soon as you lifted up your yotze, without Nianua.
Without
Nianua. Yes. So now, the Rav has an obvious question. If Nianua is not Ma'akev, so why is the fourth tefach of the lulav Ma'akev? Right? You should be yotze b'diyevet, but not the fourth tefach, because you don't need Nianua. So interestingly, there's this fascinating shutrit that I put in the next course. I didn't think of it in time. The shutrit says, if you only find a lulav with three tefachim, you should still make a bracha. Right? He says, "Valuv sha'al tadi ikri v'lo mikulo shol shvachim." It happens to be only three tefachim. You have a bracha atol lo nafik be'er. You yotze, you're not. Odi achal tell you lachat chila. You need four. But b'shas said chak, it's kosher. You can be yotze just like lulav hayavish. Now, here we have to figure out what he means. He might mean b'shas had chak. You could be. He said nafik be'er. You're yotze. He doesn't say zeichem, right? So I understand why you're yotze full of hayavish. Remember, we had a whole board full of explanations, and his explanation was you're yotze the mitzvah without the hinder mitzvah. Okay, but clearly the rib, you're yotze, because you did the mitzvah, you just didn't have the additional kiyum. So why are you yotze without four tefachim? The answer is, because you did the mitzvah. You just didn't have the additional kiyum. Which additional kiyum didn't you have? The additional kiyum of Nianua. So to have the full kiyum of Nianua, you need four tefachim. But to be yotze, the bare bones, be the agbe nafik bay. It's enough to have three tefachim. That seems to be the shitus yachid of the rid.
Can't you say that there are two parts? There's the tilak halal, but then there's the nanum halal, and they could have separate halalas.
Okay, you can say your yotzid and the tilak. We'll get to big machlokas. Is the anua only in halal or the anua din? Do you do the anua when you say it al tilas lulav or only in halal? I know what we do. That's a big machlokas for sure. Okay, so basically I have two answers. What about the fact the anua is not ma'akif? And the rid said one. The way I pitched up the rid, and Aaron already said the other, as did the Rav. What about the fact that Nianua Eino Me'akev? So one answer is the Shut Rid. Yeah, the fourth Tevel is also not Me'akev. It's Me'akev, the proper key of Bishlimusa. You're not going to be Yotze the Mitzvah Bishlimusa without the fourth Tevel. But you could still say a Brach and you're still Nufik. You're still Yotze. Just like without Hadar, it's not a full mitzvah, but you're yotzei. Without the fourth tefach, you're yotzei. And he would probably say if it's not three tefachim, he doesn't say explicitly, but if it's only two tefachim, don't bother. But I think that's what he would say. He doesn't say explicitly. The question was, if it's three tefachim, he's going to say a bracha and yotzei, and he said yes. But I think what he means, if it's two tefachim, you can't. That's pachas b'kashir. That doesn't help. But here, you just lose the additional kiyum. However, that's not what it sounds like from everyone else in the world. Everyone else sounds like, if it's not four tefachim, you're dead. So says Aaron that ba'inan ro'oi l'ni'anua. Right? You don't need ni'anua, but you need it to be ro'oi l'ni'anua. Why do we call that phrase in Shas? You don't have to do it. Everything's not ma'akev, but it has to be ro'oi l'kach. Right? If it's not ro'oi to do it right, it's puzzle. If it's right to do it right, but you didn't do it all the way, then you're yotze, and you're just not a good mitzvah. Not minam lofkar. But it has to be right to do it right. The Rav really liked this idea, because remember, going back to the Rav in the very first year of this perek, that the Rav says, why are we so makbin as a kelev yaveyu and lulav? Because the kiyum of lulav is fundamentally kiyum of shevach. The Rav says, why is the kiyum of lulav shevach? The halal and the ne'anua is only an additional nice thing. He says, no, it's not an additional nice thing. It's not ma'akev, but roi l'kach is ma'akev. Roi l'nenua is ma'akev, because you could yotzi that ni'anua. But you need to have at least a potential ni'anua there, because the whole point of the mitzvah of lulav is to be m'shabeach. Then, like, remember the Tosafim said, it's the ritzoi, because it's about the shevach lo da'ah. If the whole point is shevach, then b'di'evet, if you weren't ma'anei, it's okay, but you have to at least be roi l'nenua, because the goal is shevach. So this is a great raya for the Rav, that the yisod of lulav is Yesod mitzvahs lulav equals shevach. We know that's before in the Bali Tosfos and Pesachim, and quoted in Rishon Sfarad. Okay.
If it's the yesod, then shouldn't it be makir?
No, because really, as soon as I pick them up, there's a shevach. To do the shevach properly, I need to be ni'anua, just like menachos. If it's not roi labila, if it can't be well mixed, the oil and the flour, it's makir. If it could be well mixed, but I don't mix it, then it's not makif. So you might think that's strange.
The yisod isn't that it's mixed.
Okay, fair enough. So I'd say the yisod is not the ni'anua. The yisod is the shevach. Ni'anua is the expression of shevach. So you don't have to express the shevach explicitly. You can express it implicitly, but you at least need roi to express it explicitly. Okay, I'll leave you to think about that. Maybe. Okay, let's move on then. Says the Gemara.
Okay, one more question.
Yeah.
Just the extra tefach. So according to the Rambam, needs to be a full tefach in either event, whatever the Rambam holds about it. So you would need to hold it.
It's parashat Mishnayos. Yes, correct. Correct. Which again, he's doesn't really bring down the tefach anyway. So, okay. How does Hagazal vayir? Correct. That would be for sure a different keel. How does Hagazal vayyavish pasul? Shall a sheriff shall learn dachas pasul? Okay, that we know already. Because the same as Lula. Niktam Rosho Nifritsu Olav Oshayanav Rumi Olav Pasul. Niktam Rosho is Pasul. What does Niktam Rosho mean? Remember we had a machlokis in Lulav, the Rai versus everyone else. Niktam Rosho the Shidra or the leaves? Pretty much everyone said the leaves. Then they had to figure out which leaves. Right? Over here, all the Rishonim write, the Rai, the Ramban, everyone else, Hadas is different than Lulav. Hadas, the Niktam Rosho, according to almost all the Rishonim, does not mean the leaves. It means the stem. Why, based on the line that we almost got to in Seder time, do they think that Niktam Rosho means the stem, not the leaves? Because the very next line after what was on the Makor Rashid say, Niktam Rosho, Veh. Also, Botamra is kosher. If it's Niktam Rosho and a little berry grows there, then it's kosher. If you cut off the leaf, nothing grows on it. If you cut off the stem, it can grow something. So they say, Pasha's Niktam Rosho is the stem. Why is it different? Because in the lulav, the ikar of what you see is the leaves. Right? In the... And if the leaves are missing, if the leaves are a little cut, then, like, that's the rosh. In the handas, like, there's a lot of leaves. There's no nothing special about the leaves on top. Even if the leaves are a little chipped, the ikar is the stem. Okay, most Rishonim assume niktam rosh of the handas is the stem, regardless of what you say by lulav. There's only das yachid. The Meir here says niktam rosh means the leaves. Okay, so the Meir says das yachid, niktam rosh is the leaves. Okay. Oh, you got it. Okay. And the other Rishonim, all the other Rishonim say needs the stem. Fine. How about nifritzu olav? So nifritzu olav, let's just put this on the board. I'm not going to be ma'ayin in this, but we should know just how to read the Mishnah. So what's niktam rosho? Sorry. Give me a second here. Niktam rosho says the Meiri, the Olim, and says all the other Rishonim, the Eitz. Okay, what's nifritzu olav? So before we define nifritzu olav, what do we need to know? Before we define the word nifritzu, what do we need to know? If it actually says the word nifritzu, right? I know our Gemara is saying nifritzu. What does that prove? That just proves what they printed in Vilna, you know, 100 years ago. What was the original girsa? So this is a tremendous machlok, because we've shown him. What was the original girsa? What are the two possibilities? And you see how easy it is to mix them up. Nifritzu or? Nifritzu. Nifritzu or nifritzu? That's a very easy mistake to make, right? So there are two different girsas. What is the girsa? Is the girsa nifritzu, or is the girsa nifritzu? Who had which girsa? Who had which girsa? I just wrote down a few. The Ravid had nifritzu. The Magen Mishnah had nifritzu. The Ramban had nifritzu. The Rush had nifritzu. The Itter had nifritzu. And the Meiri and the Ra'ah brought both girsas and said they weren't sure which is the right girsa. Okay, now what does it mean? Nifritzu, I think, only has one meaning. What does it mean, nifritzu olav? Nifritzu olav. What does that mean, nifritzu olav? Anyone? What's peret?
Individual.
What's peret?
Single.
Yeah, no, the halacha, peret. You know there's a mitzvah say called peret? Peret for olavos? What does peret mean?
Individual.
Means the individual grapes that fall off during the harvest. Right? They fell off. That's prat. It becomes a prat as opposed to a klal, right? So what does it mean? It means nishru. Means they fell off. Why does it say nifritzu? Why not say
nashru?
Nashru, sorry. Why not say nashru? So it's a little tricky. But one answer might be because nashru sounds like they fall off on their own, and the leaves that dasim don't usually fall off on their own, although we have to get to the arava. They usually don't have to knock them off. Okay, it means nashru. It's the same as I don't care how they fell off. It means they fall off. How about nifritzu? What does nifritzu mean? So if we remember, nifritzu of a lulav was a big machlokas. Does nifritzu all means they fell off like Rashi? Or they were hanging off, they were mostly falling off, like the Rambam and the Rif, or does it mean they were split, like Tosos and the Ravid and the Ramban, etc., right? So what does nifritzu mean? So, here, says Rashi, nifritzu means nashru, l'shitase, right? So here, says Rashi equals Nashru Lishitase. Says the Ramban and the Meiri and the Ra'ah and the Itter. I think these are all the right people. The Ramban and the Meiri, you could look them all up. I didn't put them all even in the brackets, I'm sure. And the Itter say it means Nistaku, they were split. also lishitasam. Yeah, whatever it meant there, it meant here. The Rush is interesting. Says the Rush, it's not the same. Lishitasa gabi lulav. Or let me. Lishitasam. Gabi lulav. The Rush is interesting. The Rush says by lulav, and it's not just the Rush. It is the Ravid. By lulav, the Rush just quotes the Ravid. He's saying the same as the halacha Ravid, but not saying girsa. Says the Rush, it's different. By lulav, it means nistaku, but over here, it means fell off. Says the Rush. Equals Nashru, even though by Lulav it means Mystiku. By Lulav it means split. But here it means fell off. Okay, so three positives. Rush says it means fell off all the time. The Rabban others say it means split all the time. The Rush says over there it means split, and over here it means fell off. Why? And here it's going to the Ravid. Because splitting the leaves of the Hadas is not so noticeable like splitting the leaves of a lulav. When you split the leaf of a lulav into two strips, it flops around, it's very noticeable. When you split the leaf of a Hadas, it stays together anyway, because it's just a different shape. Okay, so that's practically, I don't think it's a big lumdus, but some people say it's the same, and the Rush says, no, it means one thing there and another thing here. Okay, now, how about Oshaya Nabrum Me'olav? If the olav, meaning not upon it, but its leaves, right? If there are more berries than leaves, you know, a myrtle bush or tree, whatever it is, grows berries. We don't usually eat them, but the Gemara says later on that people did eat them. And in some cultures, they like to make things out of them. it's puzzle. Miatan kosher, but if you take off the berries and make them less than the number of leaves, you count berries, count leaves. If there are three more berries than leaves, take off a couple of berries, and now it's kosher. You're not allowed to do it on yantif. On yantif, it's like tikkun mana. It is considered fixing. Okay, most Rishonim say it's considered fixing midrabanan because it's not really any different. It's kosher for a ritual, and the Mordechai we'll see says no. Right, if it's kosher for a ritual, that's fixing. After all, what's more important than mitzvahs? Now you can do a new mitzvah. That's malach daraisa. Okay, but we'll come back to that inyan later. Tana Rabbanan. Anaf eitz avo, shanaf and chofen es eitzo. Anaf eitz avo says anaf eitz. Anaf eitz means the whole eitz is anaf. The whole eitz is anaf, and we're interpreting anaf meaning leaves. That means the leaves completely cover the stem. Beizehu, or at least mostly cover the stem. Have yomer zehadas, that's a hadas. Ve'ima zesa, have an olive branch. The olives, also the leaves cover the stem. But you need avos lefen. No, you need avos. The simple shan avos is braided, right? This week's parsha, no? Ushtei sharshiros zahav tahar migbalos ta'aseh osam ma'aseh avot, or avos, right? Resanta, etc. Right? Avos means braided, so it has to be braided. What does braided mean? Braided means, we say later on, it means just like a braid. Forget about the sharshirot, exactly how they look for now. The pashas, a braid, needs at least three strands. Therefore, there has to be three leaves. Mishulah, what we call mishulashim. Right, the leka, the ima dulva, maybe it's a dulva, which Rashi says chestnut tree, a branch of a chestnut tree, and Tosos subjects. No, but ina eitz of a leka. That has three, but it doesn't have the leaves covering. The leaves are sparse. The leaves don't cover the branch, so it can't be. Okay, the shibeli leka actually is the opposite girsa. All right, I haven't checked out enough olive trees and chestnut trees and other pshatim what dulva could be to work it out. You can work it out on your own. Beim hirduf, maybe it's a hirduf. Apparently, hirduf has both an avos eitzo and avos. Amar bayit chardach and amvaleka. Rabbi Merhacha and Zoshal Mahavu. We already analyzed that. Tan Rabbanan kaluak min kli of a domel shalshelis zehu hadas. If it is like woven and like a chain, that is a hadas. The pashuv shat is like woven means avos three at a time, and like a chain means there's a lot of them. And it covers the branch. That's how that story. Lezvin Yaakov, Anaf Eitz Avos, Eitzetam Eitzum Per Yoshave. And Habayomer is a Hadas. It must be something where the fruit tastes the same as the bark, and that is a Hadas. Okay, yeah?
In the first price of the wood seems
they exhausted all the possible yitzim, and now that's the only thing that's left. Look, the Merchant said, there are no more. Why, she go through every yitz. Why not through these yitzim?
Okay, who wants for homework to go through? Maybe there aren't any others. Maybe it's unique.
No, there are other trees.
So one is an example of having property A without B, and then there's an example of property B without C, then there's an example of property A and B, B without A, but not having Darkei Noam, and those stand for all these categories. I think that's what you have to say. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I really don't understand at all this girsa. This is our girsa. Few Rishonim have this girsa. The Ritva says it doesn't make any sense for two reasons. A, because... Well, we don't need the Esro tree either. We say in Esro, the fruit tastes like the bark. It does. Check it out. But it's in Esrog where the fruit tastes like the bark, not a Hadas. How can this be the Sinon Hadas? It's the Sinon Esrog. Not to mention the fact, by an Esrog, it's a good drusha. Pre-Eitz. The pre tastes like the Eitz tastes like the pre. Here it doesn't have a word pre. Anaf Eitz Avos. Where's the word pre? So the Ritva says this Gersa is crazy. All the Akronim try to figure out ways to defend the Gersa. None of them are terribly convincing. There must be some way. Anyway, this girsa is tricky. I don't really know how to justify this girsa. A, the drusha doesn't make sense. And B, then it's an esrog.
About the berries?
Maybe the berries do taste like the bark, but...
There is no bark on the dust.
What?
The twig.
Not the bark. The twig. The twig. It doesn't have to be bark. You're right. The twig tastes like the berries. Now, I never tried tasting the twig and the berries, if it works or not. But it's a little funny. It's just funny because, like, there's no word pre, so how are they darshan pre? And also, then, what's the difference between Hadas and Esrog? How do they know which is which? So there are two other girsas. I don't know what to do with this girsa. The Ritva doesn't like this girsa at all. And the Ritva says a different girsa. Okay, what is the girsa of the Rif? The girsa of the Rif is, and I understand it better, is that no, Ta'am. Where's the Ritva's Gersa? Here we are. He just has the Gersa of, Anav of Chofen is Eitzo. Like we said beforehand. Okay. How do we know which is the one that's Anav of Chofen is Eitzo? That must be a Hadas. Okay, that Gersa, works a lot better. Anav Eitzo, almost Eitzo, Anav of Chofen is Eitzo. So just what's the Gersa of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? There's one girsa I have two problems with, which is our girsa. Uperio Shavin. Again, my first problem is I don't see how that comes from the psukim. Second problem is, these are not my problems, they're both the Ritva's problems. Is that then it's an esrog. So says the Ritva in the Ra'ah. Now change the girsa legamre. Enough of Chofin es Eitzo. Okay, then that's a repeat of what we had before in the Gemara, which is okay. We're not a bigger brisa. The Rif, apparently, on the side of the Rif, there's Hagahos, not Me Eretz Yisrael, Aleph Yud. Rather, what does it stand for? Hagahos Me Alphas Yashan. Alphas is the Rif. From an old Rif, like they printed the Rif, and then someone married Hagahos from an old manuscript Rif that he found. He wrote about the Yurts in that old manuscript of the Rif. Hagahos Me Aleph Yud, not Eretz Yisrael. Although, wherever we go, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. But in this particular case, we're first going to the Alphas Yashan. And apparently, this is in some Gersos of the Russian manuscript, which I haven't checked out myself, but I saw quoted. So apparently, the old Gersos of the Rif and the Rush, right? So the Alphas Yashan has the Gersa of the Hagos Me Alphas Yashan has the Gersa of Tam Eitzo Va'anofel Shave. Okay, it's still a little weird. The taste of the wood and the leaf is the same. It's still a little weird, but at least it's possible. Meaning, how'd you get that from the pasuk? Anaf eitz means the anaf is similar to eitz. Why would I thought it to be similar in taste? I'm not sure, but it could be. And then clearly it's not the same as esrog. Esrog is where the fruit tastes the same, and this is where the leaves taste the same. Okay, it's a little random, but it's a possible drasha. So I can't figure out our drasha of our Gemara. I'll just leave it to Sarkeem. If you want, look at all the achronim. They'll come up with very creative ways. But none of them seem to be pshat. Okay.
The fact that Tam Eitzo Pirio Shaveh by Esro, why can't it also be by Hadas?
Then how do we know which of them is which of them? How do we know which is which? So you could say maybe there's some other clue which is which. Okay, it could be. But the bigger question is, it doesn't say the word pre. How would we darshan anything about the pre? So some of the Achronim say anaf means enav, berry. Okay, that's a far out drasha. You want to see who talks about it? The Rishash. The Rishash says anaf means enav, al tikra anaf ela enav. Enav is a berry. Therefore, it's where the berries taste the same. And how do we know which is esrog, which is this? We have other clues that tell us there are two esrog and hadas, and we have clues that tell us which is which. But it's a little, okay. You have to say something, I don't know what. Let's go by here. The interesting part here, now we already start here, is hadashote, right? So, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, no, we already read that. Tana eats avos kosher, she ain't avos pasol. If it's avos, it's kosher. If it's not avos, it's pasol. Eichu dami avos. What does avos mean? Amar Yehuda, vudukami, klasu, klasu, tarbi, bikina. Three leaves in a can. What is a can? What is a can? What is kina? What's the word for kina? What does kina mean? Ah, so kina could be milashon kan sipor equals nest. Or, what's a kane? What? Or it could be from kane. A kane equals a, right? A branch, a stick, right? A kane equals a stick, right. A branch. No, it's really not a stick. It's really kanya derava, but... it's really a reed, meaning like one shoot, right? A shoot, right? What's a shoot? It's like, you know, one thing. Okay, it doesn't matter. A shoot or a branch. A shoot, because really reeds have shoots, not branches, I think. That's what you call it if they're soft, and then you get into all kinds of terrible problems with pandas. Which is it? This is a machlokas between who and who. The etymology of kina is a machlokas between who and who. Rashi and Tosos. Rashi, Tosos. Rashi says, what does it mean? You need three leaves on one stem. How does he know three leaves on one stem? Ah, it has to be one stick leading to the three leaves. Three leaves on one stem. What's Tosa's objection to Rashi's three leaves on one stem? You ever celebrate Sukkot by a Hadas? Are there ever three leaves on one stem? No. Tosa says there just doesn't come that way. I really don't know what Rashi was thinking. Meaning, it's not like Rashi's talking about something from 3,000 years ago. Rashi also celebrated Sukkot. I don't know what Rashi could have meant. Rashi also had Hadassim every year at Sukkot time. He looked at his Hadassim. Did his Hadassim have three leaves on one stem? I don't know, maybe there's some weird species of Hadass that have three leaves on each stem? Then ours have three stems, but on the same height, right? What is that? A lot of things are round on the same height. That's a nest, right? And this is Tosos. Tosos says... three stems at the same height. Right? At the same point on the branch. So I think they're having an etymological machlokas here. Right? Rashi is three on one stem, which is very rare and I've never seen it. Maybe there's some weird strain of hadas that grew where Rashi lived that had three leaves on one stem. Everyone else in the entire world, from right to left and up to down, disagrees and says like Tosos. No, it means three... I can also draw a picture. That doesn't mean that they didn't photograph the picture. They drew the picture. Shkoyach, I can draw a picture of a unicorn also. That doesn't prove very much. So, everyone else agrees with Rashi. Agav, what's the big debate nowadays, besides the debate that we're going to get to when we start today's shir, of what percentage has to be a shulash, what counts as the same level, the same height, right? As we know, this is a tremendous debate what counts as the same height nowadays. We should do a little halacha l'maisa. What counts as the same height? There are three basic shitas. Mesora, guess who's the most machmer shita? You'll never guess. No. You don't remember last year? The Brisker Rav. The minhag of the Brisker Rav was, right, says the Grizz, it needs to be exactly the same height. Meaning, you need to have one stem. You know the stems are like, they stick out a little. Another stem and another stem exactly the same height. What is the Rov Posyim, the Chazan Ish, and Rav Poskim? Anyone know? They have to start exactly the same. They have to all overlap exactly. Meaning, if here's one stem, and here's another stem, and here's another stem, as long as you can draw a line that touches all of them, that's good enough. The three stems don't have to start at exactly the same nanometer, but there has to be a line that touches all of them. It's not good enough there's a line that joins two and another line that joins two. There has to be a point of overlap between those three little stems. And the shir, the shita of the Shevet HaLevi of Rav Wasner, is that it just has to look even. If you look at it looks even. Right? Meaning, when I look at it like this, it looks even. I don't have to go like this and figure out exactly. Just as you couldn't tell. You look at something. I see the bullshit, it looks even, that's good. Right? Just has to look even, without close examination. Right? So even if it was like this, and I mean, it's hard to draw. Because once I draw it, Meduyuk on the board, it's not going to look even because I'm examining it too closely. Right? But if I have a thing, and I have one coming out, and another coming out, and another coming out, and they all sort of look even, I don't pay attention to exactly where the stems are. It looks good. Looks mishalish to me. Good enough. Okay. The mainstream Minhag HaOlam, some people quote Shlomo Zalman disagreeing with the Shevet HaLevi. The mainstream Minhag HaOlam like the Chazon Ish, and the Briskers are makvid that it'd be exactly.
How exactly do they exact? Always have the deform.
No, so the answer is when you examine it closely, it looks exactly the same. As opposed to here, when you examine it closely, they look a little staggered, just overlapping. Right? When you examine it closely, obviously, nothing is exactly the same if you measure finely enough.
They take a chut, no?
But the chut has to be, you have to keep, basically, take a level and put it like under them all and see if they all look the same to the best of your measuring ability. But according to most poskim, take a level and just make sure that the top of the level crosses the three stems. It can cross one at the top, one at the middle, one at the bottom. And according to the Shevet HaLevi, don't be an idiot. Just look at it. If it looks like there's three together, that's good enough. And don't be like that. Okay, but nonetheless, most poskim are a little more machmer in that. Okay, we didn't even get to whether Ahad HaShota is possible or not, or what Ahad HaShota means. We'll have to continue Meretz Hashem next time with the Lumdus of Ahad HaShota. It shouldn't really take us so long. So we're going to do that part of the next year. And the rest of the next year we're going to get into, here is a big Chiddush for us. We're pretty much done with the Chakiras of, after Ahad HaShota, the Chakiras of every soul, is it Ein Shmo Olav, or is it Hadar, is it etc., and is it Rov, is it Miyot, is it the top, is it the middle, we're just going to finish Ahad HaShota, and then we're going to go on to more Shas-type topics. So Lamed Gimel, Amad Aleph, to Amad Beis is the big sugi of Dichoy. Just want to point out, Dichoy is, it's deceptive. There's a big Dichoy sugi from where we left off till two lines from the end of Amad Aleph, and then we go to something else, and then there's another Dichoy sugya in the from like eight lines down in Amud Beis until halfway down Amud Beis. So our next sugya is going to be Dichoy. So go from the top of Lamed Gimel Aleph till the. All right, maybe we'll do a little. Okay, the middle of Lamed Gimel Aleph Beis, and I'll see. Maybe we'll just. There's one more psalm we have to deal with, which is the berries. Maybe we'll knock it off first. Okay, but basically it's all, we're going to deal with the Gemara from the top of Lamed Gimel and Aleph to the smack in the middle of Lamed Gimel and Beis next time. Gemara Rashi Toso should keep us busy for a bit.